Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Osasuna Real Madrid post-game podcast. We went to El Sadar, one of the tougher places to play, and came out with a 4-2 victory. I'm your host, Keon Sabani, joined today by Lucas Navarrete. Seconds after the final whistle, we are live on YouTube. What a fun game, Lucas. I think that was the most fun performance we had since the Girona game.
Yeah. It was an entertaining game for sure with those three early goals. Then, you know, the game being open, Real Madrid having some chances here and there, obviously, then some quality goals by the end of it as well. So, yeah, it was an entertaining game for sure.
Fede Valverde with a hat-trick of assists. Yep. He was fantastic. I mean, I think everyone was pretty good today. Vinny was transcendent. And, oh, man, what an ending. I'm just going to say it right now, Lucas. I'm giving Arda Güler that goal. I think that that is an Arda Güler goal. I don't care what the stats say. I don't care what the numbers say. When I look at the performances at the end of the season, I'm looking at all the numbers. Arda Güler, I'm putting an asterisk right now. Goal. That's a goal right there. Deserved goal. It's hard to think of like a player that in such a short amount of time has had so many impactful moments. Like he plays like minutes at the end, scores a goal, hits the crossbar. I think there was another one recently where he came off the bench late and almost scored, I think. Can't remember which one that was. And then, of course, we're just blessed with these training clips every day of Güler doing some magical stuff in the scrimmage. Where do you want to start with this one, Lucas?
Maybe the Vinicius performance. I think he carried the team. I think he played phenomenal football. His finishing was on point. Oh, very close to a hat trick as well. So yeah, very good performance from Vinicius. Unlucky to see that yellow card, which will prevent him from participating in the next game against Bilbao. So it'll be a while. It'll actually be his next game for Real Madrid will be on that first leg of the Champions League quarterfinals against Manchester City. So hopefully he doesn't lose much momentum and much, not confidence, but, you know, groove and momentum by missing, yeah, almost a full calendar month of action because of that yellow card, because of obviously now we're entering a FIFA break, and then Real Madrid will play on March 31st against Athletic, and then the next game after that will be the first leg of the quarterfinals against City. So hopefully that yellow card, again, another silly yellow card, I thought, hopefully that doesn't matter much in terms of obviously Real Madrid's game against Bilbao, but also his own performance against Manchester City.
Can I hit you with conspiracy? Mm-hmm. I'm the least conspiracy. I'm like the most non-conspiracy theorist guy ever. Like I don't really subscribe to almost any conspiracy theory at all. Or maybe it's more of like a blessing. I don't know what it is, but it's just something that I thought of when he got the yellow and he misses the Athletic game. The blessing is this. I know everyone's annoyed that he got the yellow for dissent. And I kind of, I half joked before when we in the last podcast when we drew Manchester City in the live reaction, I said, look, if he's going to get a yellow in the first leg against City and misses the second leg, it's going to come down to dissent. Like, I'm not worried about him doing bone-crunching slide tackle to someone's knee. I'm worried about two players getting a yellow specifically. One, Vinny for dissent, or Camavinga, a yellow for a clean challenge. They both got yellows today, ironically.
Yeah.
But here's the blessing.
Camavinga was close to a red card, by the way, but yeah.
He's Camavinga. He has like a bunch of these amazing tackles, and then he'll have one or two that are late. But the blessing is this. He misses Athletic and not Clásico.
Sure.
And he also gets a game rest just in case before the City game, which is, I think that it's 3 days apart. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong.
No, way more. The City game is on April the 9th. Right.
Yes, I completely forgot that it is a 9-day rest.
More than a week, actually. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
In that case, the second blessing doesn't really count. He's going to get rest anyway.
He'll probably be given some kind of permission by the club, I think, to return to Spain. Is this Arlo?
Hey, Arlo. Yeah, just a heads up. So my kid's eating pizza on YouTube right now. So just a heads up, this podcast will be a little bit shorter than usual because it's just me and the kids. And they are unpredictable tornadoes.
Sticking his tongue out, man. Don't
encourage him, Lucas. He's a huge troll. He will troll me, you, everyone on YouTube.
All right. So yeah, what I was saying is that he'll probably be given some kind of permission to maybe stay in Brazil for a little longer instead of making his return to Spain immediately after the FIFA break. Makes sense to me, maybe that he's given some kind of permission to see his family and all that, maybe for 2 or 3 days. But we'll see about that. Anyway, he'll be fully rested for the Manchester City game for sure. In fact, I mean, rust is a little bit of a concern maybe in this regard. He'll be without a competitive game for 25 or 26 days. So maybe it will be a bit of a concern. I'm guessing that he will obviously play for Brazil this FIFA break. I haven't looked at their schedule whatsoever. I think these are all friendlies.
It's a couple friendlies, yeah. Pretty sure they're both friendlies.
These are all just friendlies. So yeah, not really competitive or anything in that regard. But yeah, again, maybe... Hopefully, the thing he has to avoid now is not staying focused and losing some kind of momentum after this, what will be a fairly long break in the middle of the season for him. But I'm not overly concerned. I think he'll be ready.
Well, I don't even know. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure Brazil, like, they don't even have to go far this break because one of those games is at the Bernabeu. Remember?
Oh, interesting.
That's a huge deal because Endrick, if he plays that game, it'll be at the Bernabeu, so he might play at the Bernabeu for the first time and all that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I don't think they have to go far regardless, but...
They have a game against Spain, which is the one at the Bernabeu, and the other one is in England. So, yeah, he doesn't have to go to South America. Then you can definitely forget all I said about him being getting permission to kind of stay in Brazil for a little longer. I'm guessing he'll stay in Europe for sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I also would like to backtrack about my blessing thing in a bit because I never really know. I'm not an expert in this, but there's conflicting opinions. Some people say that you don't want that much time in between games because you want rhythm too. So the only
especially when you're in good form.
Yes, definitely. So the only blessing really is that he'll play Clásico and won't miss it. But now it's highly debatable which game is tougher. I think you could argue that the game is actually tougher than Barcelona, but the Clásico is the big show. You know what I mean? Okay. So the starting lineup, this is now a couple games at least, Lucas, where we've seen Tchouaméni start over Nacho on the back line, something that Carlos said would never happen if Nacho was healthy. So we have that. Nacho did eventually come on and Tchouaméni shifted to the DM when that happened late. Camavinga started as a DM. I thought Camavinga was fantastic today.
Yeah.
Composure on the ball. He had four beautiful tackles at halftime that led the entire game statistically, led the entire, all the players, I should say. He had five by the end of it. I thought he was terrific. Moved between the lines really well. I thought we just had like a lot of good sequences in this game where our movement, our buildup was quite good. I love the interchangeability of Cruz and Camavinga. I like the interchangeability of Rodrigo and Brahim as well between the lines. Their movement was excellent. We got good overloads from Mendy and Carvajal, who had a mixed bag but scored an amazing goal. But yeah, what did you want to I guess talk about in terms of whether it was defense, offense, whatever?
I also enjoyed Camavinga's performance a lot. I think Camavinga was brilliant defensively with all those tackles, interceptions, anticipated in some key passes for Osasuna and stole the ball cleanly. So he was brilliant apart from that tackle, late tackle, which earned him the yellow card, which again, arguably, it was fairly close to being a red card. It was a very tough and intense and strong tackle. Granted, he obviously knew he was at fault for that. So, I mean, no, nothing wrong there apart from it being late. But yeah, Camavinga was phenomenal defensively. I agree. I completely agree with that. Offensively, he didn't do much, but he was so good defensively as a defensive midfielder. And you don't often see that. You don't see that often. Maybe he's not his IQ in terms of positioning whenever he's playing as a defensive midfielder isn't as great as Tchouaméni, but I think his speed and his timing for those tackles is possibly maybe even better than Tchouaméni's own. Tchouaméni is probably more skilled in terms of his positioning, but Camavinga's own tackling ability is phenomenal. So yeah, I completely agree with that. I also thought that Tchouaméni as a center back worked perfectly. Budimir is obviously a very dangerous striker when the ball is in the air, so Ancelotti probably wanted to take care of that. So yeah, a very good defensive performance from Real Madrid, apart from that, from the fact that they obviously conceded two goals, but I thought that they kept things under control for most of the time, apart from, again, those two goals conceded, and obviously that big mistake leading to Osasuna's equalizer.
So it's funny because I used to watch a lot of Mallorca when Kubo was there on loan. And I bring this up because I always noted how much of a threat Budimir was. And of course, Budimir is now with Osasuna. And Jose and I, we did this a lot before. We don't do it as much now unless it's a big game. But we used to do a lot of preview podcasts the day before. Mm-hmm. And anytime we had to face Budimir, whether it's with Osasuna or previously with Mallorca, I always note, like, watch out for that guy. He is a behemoth in the box. Aerially, he is a freak. And just don't leave him open. And sometimes even if you don't leave him open and you mark him, he's going to score. I always put him down for a goal in anytime we play against him. And he got his goal today on a scrambling mess of a defensive set piece. I did want to talk about, I guess, just Osasuna in general. I think I'm not complaining. But the way they played us was perfect for us. This is the way we want every opponent to play against us selfishly. Yeah. We don't want them to go into deep blocks and close space. They opened up. They had a really brutal high line. Vinicius fully exposed it. And so I'm thankful for that. And I think that's in part why it was such a big game.
A bit silly from Arrasate to kind of put and build this game plan for Osasuna. I expected a low block from them. Maybe you can say that early goal from Vinicius, which came off a big mistake from Osasuna's backline, definitely didn't help Arrasate's plan in this regard, and he was forced to do something different than what he was intending to do earlier. But it was a bit silly from Arrasate to kind of allow Real Madrid to enjoy this kind of game today, I should say. But yeah, that first goal, maybe Osasuna were not expecting to concede that early goal, and that maybe actually forced Arrasate's hand in playing a different style than what he wanted to do earlier.
I also wanted to give a shout out to, I mentioned him in passing, Fede Valverde, the hat-trick of assists. So if you look, all three, he had a hand in all three of the goals, number 2, 3, and 4. If you look at the way he moved in Real Madrid's second goal, the assist to Carvajal, which shout out to Carvajal, who like moments after a couple bad sequences, including one horrible throw, which nearly costed us a goal. He took his finish. He reacted to that as if he
that
was
that finish
like,
was ridiculous. Yeah,
he was Marco van Basten in the box. Like the way he reacted was very instinctually like a lethal striker, like Erling Haaland or something. So great,
unbelievable.
Finish.
Yeah.
The way Sofetti moved in that sequence where he assisted Carvajal, those runs, he used to do them a lot, especially like a couple years ago. And they're always so devastating to deal with if you're the defense. Those runs into the half space, he does it from a position where you don't detect it because he's joining from midfield. And it just provides you with numerical superiority. And those movements just break teams. And so we haven't seen it as much this season because he's been playing in deeper roles this season often. But that completely broke Osasuna, and he was fantastic. Any other standouts to you?
Brahim, I thought his finish was good. It's true that he was kind of invisible during the whole game. He didn't create many chances and all that. But I thought his finish was should be highlighted in what's been maybe a tough week for him personally, you know, being in the middle of this controversy and all that. He stayed very calm in front of the goalkeeper. It was kind of the decisive goal for Real Madrid because it built this two-goal advantage in the score. So, yeah, that I thought that finish in particular was very strong. And maybe we can also talk a little bit more about Rodrigo, which is sad that, you know, Real Madrid scored four goals in this game and Rodrigo failed to contribute with a goal or an assist once again. So yeah, maybe yet another kind of disappointing or concerning performance from him. But yeah, you have like the two sides of the story with Brahim and Rodrigo in this regard. Brahim being in the middle of his own controversy with the whole Morocco and Spain debacle, where and staying calm in front of goal with a great finish. Whereas Rodrigo kind of had his own chances, also being in the middle of his own controversy and not being able to finish his plays and maybe kind of delivering some a bit worrying body language. I don't know if you agree with me. Cameras, by the end of the game, I thought he looked devastated or at least very sad in after missing that last chance he got, I thought. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't notice anything. Maybe you saw some things that I didn't, admittedly. But I don't know. Like, I thought Rodrigo was fine. The thing is, like, if you get this Rodrigo game in the middle of his scoring streak from earlier this season, you wouldn't think too much of it. You're like, oh, he didn't score, but he did other things. I thought he got into good positions. I mean, Vinny set him up a couple times really well. Vinny was, I mean, we said it, but just to emphasize again, Vinny was incredible today. But
I do have to say that Rodrigo, had he dived on that on that tackle inside the box, he possibly and should have been awarded a penalty, and he probably would have taken it himself.
Yes.
But he decided to finish the play and maybe get a more a goal of a play instead of from the penalty spot. So yeah, I have to give him that in the fact that he quite certainly created a penalty kick for himself, but decided not to dive and finish the play himself. So yeah.
I thought he did well to stay on his feet in that sequence.
Why though?
Well, I don't know. It's just like, it seems like the right thing to do.
I don't know. It was an obvious penalty to me.
Yeah, well, that's on the ref, I guess, to like acknowledge that. Like, the ref, there was a couple of things the ref...
You have to fall down though.
That's why I'm not like, and I know there's conflicting takes on this, but this is why I personally, I don't get mad at players for embellishing contact and being dramatic, in part right. Because that's how I personally play.
As long as there's contact, I'm fine with them selling the call. That's what they have to do, because it's been proven that unless you fall down, the penalty is not going to be called, man. And that was a clear penalty. There was contact. He tripped him. Like, he clearly like impeded his movement inside the box. So all he had to do was sell the call. And again, that it's on the referee, granted, because Rodrigo shouldn't have to fall down for the referee to call a penalty, but it's clear to me that had he fallen down, he would have probably been given that penalty, yeah.
I agree with you. It's also why I sympathize even with players like Neymar, who, like, as soon as they stay on their feet and they don't go down, they don't get the call, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't blame players for doing that. But anyways, commendable either way that he's tried to stay on his feet and score.
Sure.
But yeah, the ref, I mean, there was a couple of weird ones like that. The other one was the Vinicius penalty, which was clear to me. And there was a similar, similar foul on Rodrigo later in the second half.
I don't recall that one.
He did get called. The ref called that one. And it just told me that if Vinny's was outside the box, it would have been called. But anyway, just to go back to Rodrigo and his chances. So I just thought we could look at how good were his chances that he had. Because he had 3 shots in this game, 5 completed dribbles. And shot at the keeper, I think, for all 3, if I'm not mistaken. He had one that was, this one was tough. It was early on when he was linking up with Vinicius in the left half space. I'm sharing my screen if you're on YouTube. And then this one, again, set up by Vinicius.
Yeah.
This one, I think, was right at the keeper. And I think the third one was this one. Yeah, this is the one where he stayed on his feet, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Let's see what the biggest one was.
The one on the left side. Yeah, the one.
Here's it was Arda a good Goulet. Save.
Nice.
0.01, 93rd minute, assisted by Lucas Vazquez, left foot shot on the post. That's 5 goals right there. Our XG was 3.06. I was thinking, like, it's so funny. Like,
how much XG on that, Rodrigo, the one on the left side?
0.33. I think it was, it's pretty big. The other 2 big ones were Vinny early on and then Fede. Late on, I don't even remember.
Fede is the deflection from the crossbar on the Guler, shot.
Oh, that was Fede.
Yeah, that was Fede. That was Fede. He missed it.
But my commentator said Vazquez, but I didn't see the replay.
No, it was Fede. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Where was I going with all this? It was a point I was going to make. Oh, just that I was looking at Osasuna's XG and how much they threaten. It's funny. Like, I saw the starting lineup. I noted Tchouaméni starting over Nacho. And I forgot that Tchouaméni was on the field at all until Nacho came in for him. And I guess that's a good sign. It means like he didn't really have much to do. I noticed Rudiger more. I thought Rudiger put in some amazing challenges, actually.
Yeah, Rudiger is more flashy for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Did Ancelotti speak yet?
I don't think he did.
Well, he usually would go first in this situation because he's the away coach, but
yeah,
I guess not. All right. Couple super chats and then we can talk about our presenting sponsor.
Ancelotti. But, oh yeah, Ancelotti has said a few things. Let me just translate real quick here.
Okay.
About Lunin. He's doing really well. We've discovered a goalkeeper who gives us confidence. He's very safe. When Courtois is back, we'll see what happens because he's had a big, big injury and we have to be cautious. And the same goes for Militao. We're not in a hurry. Lunin is giving us safety, yeah. About Guler's crossbar chance... Only great talent can see a play like that one. It doesn't matter to me that he didn't score. To us, that's a goal. So Ancelotti echoes your sentiment in that regard. And yeah, interesting. Oh, Ancelotti, by the way, achieved his 200th victory with for Real Madrid. That's not enough. We're going for 201. And about Vinicius, he could have scored 4 goals tonight without a problem. It's been extraordinary in every chance he's got. He's done a spectacular performance. So yeah, interesting point about Lunin and Courtois, which is the main highlight maybe of the press conference and also of the upcoming weeks, possibly.
On Lunin, he made a couple big saves again today. They weren't like point blank, but they were great saves regardless because the shots that he was facing were great. He is just, I kind of exaggerated it on Twitter. Just to be
not kind of.
Well, I know for sure you would have found it exaggerating, but I also said I'm exaggerating. But it was a hyperbole tweet. But he's not only replaced Courtois, like he's become Courtois. Like he's been unreal, man. Like he's been unreal this season. That's why I keep saying like the Courtois return is not as urgent as the Militao return to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Let's see, man. My deluded dream, as I pointed out on YouTube during the Champions League live reaction, is that Militao comes back like full force. He's Militao.
For that first leg, man.
What are the chances do you think that he'll play? My kid is just doing funny things right now. That's why I'm laughing. What are the chances that he can squeeze in a game against Athletic before the first leg? Below 50%?
A full game starting.
Off the bench?
Maybe some minutes off the bench.
I think if he comes in off the bench against Athletic, it's still not going to be enough to start him in the first leg.
It will not be enough for me, definitely. Against Haaland in such a tough... It's also the first leg at home, man. Yeah, a single mistake risky. Or a single... Yeah, it's just too risky, man. Facing Haaland in that game where a single goal can kind of like it would be catastrophic. Not winning that game. Let's be clear now. Obviously, Real Madrid have the potential to beat Manchester City at the Etihad. We know this, but chances are very, very slim. So Real Madrid have to win the first leg, man. It's just that simple. They cannot afford to go to the return leg needing to beat Manchester City at the Etihad or in a penalty shootout at the Etihad. They have to win the game at the Bernabeu, and just for that, I think it's just too risky to give Militao the starting job and the task of defending a behemoth like Haaland in that first leg. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
My prediction would be he gets minutes off the bench against Athletic, then minutes off the bench in the first leg.
Why? Minutes off the bench in the first... Why would you give him minutes off the bench in the first leg unless it's necessary?
Fair point. I just imagine that Nacho will come in off the bench if he doesn't start. And in that case, if Militao is ready, then why not? Like, I'm not saying start him. But then
I will not mess with my center backs in the middle of the first leg unless it's necessary, obviously. If an injury or a red card or whatever forces your hand, sure. I would not change either one of my center backs in the middle of the first leg. Obviously, in the game against Athletic, it's different because you want to get Militao involved and you want to get him in some kind of rhythm. But in the middle of the first leg, I just don't see it either.
So my counter to that would be, the only reason you even put Militao off the bench against Athletic is so that he has some minutes for the City game. If there's no chance of him playing in the first leg against City, then why bring him off the bench against Athletic too? You just wait it out.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think it's too early, man. I think it's too early for him to have a major impact against Manchester City. I don't know.
Let me finish my prediction.
Which is unlucky, by the way, before you finish, which is unlucky because we only needed like 2 extra weeks. That's all we needed with him. So, yeah, we'll see.
So let me finish my prediction. He starts the second leg.
Okay.
So I work backwards, FYI. In order to start the second leg, you need to have match fitness before.
Sure.
And you get minutes in the next couple games. But this is just a prediction. I'm not saying right, wrong. I'm just throwing out there. I think this is what's going to happen.
I mean, the alternative really is starting Nacho against Haaland, which isn't encouraging. Or
I'd rather start Tchouaméni.
I know. I would start Tchouaméni as well.
But Bellingham on the field, the only difference.
Don't you feel, though, that even though Tchouaméni has been brilliant as a center back, don't you feel like you're kind of getting away with it because of the quality of the opposition and that he faces the potential of getting exposed as a center back against, a giant, a titan as Haaland? I fear that.
Yes, but we at least saw him do it in a high-stake game against Leipzig. Sure. And he'll have Rüdiger next to him and not Nacho to take the Haaland.
No, I would trust Tchouaméni ahead of Nacho. But my main point is the alternative to Militao. The two alternatives to Militao are not that ideal. So maybe you have to roll the dice. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I still we're both on the same page that we would trust Tchouaméni over Nacho, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have the guarantees that Militao doesn't face any kind of risks with his recovery or with his ability to stay healthy long term, like if he's clear to play from a medical standpoint, maybe you have to roll the dice, because again, it's either Nacho or Tchouaméni against Haaland. And while I would trust Tchouaméni ahead of Nacho, it's not ideal to me either.
If we didn't have Camavinga, like, it would change the discussion, like the urgency of needing Tchouaméni in midfield. Camavinga mitigates some of that. Now, like, who knows? By the second leg, who's suspended, who's injured? There's so much time left. Maybe that changes again, and you need Tchouaméni here. You need Camavinga left back. I don't know what's going to happen, but one game at a time. All right, let's take some super chats.
Sure.
Mr. Sushi says, hearing of a $70 million offer for Brahim, what are your thoughts?
I don't know where you've heard that. I guess you'll keep your sources close to your chest, as you should say. If that offer were true, I would sell him. Yeah, it's that simple to me. It's I think if Mbappe signs for Madrid this summer, one of Rodrigo and Brahim becomes redundant to me and becomes not needed. And, so I would sell him if that offer is true.
Do you think if Real Madrid put out a call right now, public service announcement, Brahim Diaz is available for $70 million, you don't think they would get an offer like that?
No.
In this market, have you seen some of these players and what they're going for? I think you would get it.
I don't see it. I think that's too much. I think that's too much for a player who has featured 3-4 times in the starting lineup for Madrid.
Many more to come. And he's been wildly impactful.
Oh, yeah. I'm the biggest Brahim fan on the whole side, possibly.
I know.
So, but I don't see that value exceeding 50 right now.
Mr. Sushi says he heard it from the ESPN commentator.
Okay. Again, I don't see his value being north of 50 million. And by the way, this is kind of unfair because this has to do with marketing and kind of narrative as well. Is Brahim worth more than some of the players going for 60 or 70 million to the Premier League? Quite possibly. But he doesn't have this narrative behind him and this kind of marketing powerhouse behind him. He's kind of invisible, being a reserve in Real Madrid. So, yeah.
Inverse No Commentary says, nothing, just a new YouTube member. Welcome.
Thanks, man. Welcome.
You've gotten a ton of bonus content and you're getting a ton of bonus content. Congratulations and welcome to the family. If you want to join Inverse No Commentary and his legendary status and, hang out with us on Zoom, ask us questions, unmute your mic, turn on your camera, talk to us, then become a member.
Don't be disappointed, by the way, with the upcoming 2 weeks, because during the FIFA break, we will still produce content, but obviously you cannot expect that content to be as exciting as the content that is coming after during the Champions League tie or during Liga games, really. It will be obviously a little bit more news-based and news-driven content rather than again, match content, tactical analysis, and all that. So, yeah.
Counter argument. It's going to be even better for members because if we have less to talk about, it's more opportunity for them to talk to us on Zoom.
Sure, and propose some interesting questions, yeah.
Dean Portman says, loves the show. Fam, Real Madrid and Colorado Avalanche, my two favorite teams in the world. Okay. Shout out to Patrick Roy.
You have any love for the Nuggets being an Avalanche fan?
Let us know. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And by break, I mean, we're not going to head to commercial or anything like that. You stick around. But we did want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Manscaped. Listeners, you guys can go to manscaped.com, use code ManagingMadrid to get 20% off and free shipping. As we know, the best performers on the field always manscape before the game. We always manscape before the podcast. No exceptions. And as we like to do, after every Real Madrid game, we give out a Manscaped Man of the Match award. It goes to the player who manscaped the most and therefore performed the best on the field. So, Lucas, please present our Manscaped Man of the Match award today. Who is it going to?
Vinicius Jr. clearly manscaped ahead of this game. He not only scored two goals, he was close to scoring a hat trick in this one, carried Real Madrid to victory today, quite possibly proving his good form. So definitely great performance from Vinicius and clear and obvious Manscaped Man of the Match for me.
Listeners, if you want to perform like Vinicius Jr. and dominate your Sunday league, go to manscaped.com and use code ManagingMadrid for 20% off and free shipping. That's manscaped.com. Use code ManagingMadrid for 20% off and free shipping. Awesome. All right, cool. Lucas, what did we miss? Anything?
Not for me. I may maybe give a little bit more praise to Fede Valverde. I've been seeing on you gave him his flowers earlier in the show, but I think he was possibly, if it weren't for Vinicius' two goals and the other chances he had, I would possibly have given the Manscaped Man of the Match to him. So yeah, you're on mute, Kian.
All right, rookie error, my apologies. So just sharing my screen as I like to do and checking out Mark Statspot on Twitter. Expected goals we went over already. Expected threat, slightly in our favor. A lot of possession. And I think we're going to wrap it up soon. My kids also are
these kids are naughty, man. You have to put them to Space Jam or something.
Oh, dude. So remember I told you they're big trolls. They were doing Gangnam Style in front of me and laughing at me, trying to get me to laugh on the podcast. This is very common stuff. Toni Kroos, best progressor via pass, via carry. Brahim Diaz also very good in that regard as well. So we pretty much dominated this game. The eye test already told us that, but yeah, it's pretty clear for all to see.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm just going to do a quick run through of my notes. So Lucas, if you have anything, now is the time or forever hold your peace.
Not for me. Go ahead.
We went over the goals, I think. I don't know if we mentioned Brahim's goal, but he took it beautifully. Very composed finish. We spoke about Kamavinga. Guler madness at the end. We spoke about Kamavinga, Rudiger, Carvajal, Lunin, Rodrigo, Fede, Vinny. I think we got it all, bro.
Yeah.
We even squeezed in some Manchester City talk. So, yeah.
Another quote here from Ancelotti about the Vinicius' attitude, maybe. He said the pressure he has on, or the pressure he faces, let me try to rephrase this. It's in Spanish, so I'm trying to find the best translation so that Ancelotti is not misquoted or anything. The pressure he has or that he's facing in hostile environments, he has to control that a little bit more or a little bit better or a little bit more efficiently. That's what he said. After praising him, by the way. So in no way he's displeased or anger with Vinicius. But he just mentioned that.
Can I give you my next delusional take of optimistic delusion? I think because him and Walker, Kyle Walker, are good.
Oh.
Generally in the Champions League too, it's a little bit more tame, although against Leipzig, he did have his moment of regret. I think against City, he'll escape. That's my delusional, optimistic take.
Hopefully. Today. Hopefully. Definitely.
We did have a super chat that we missed. Anthony Tharp, our main man, Anthony. Fede Valverde deserves all the plaudits. His consistency while playing every single match has been key to our success this season. Another great Fede game. Couldn't agree more, Anthony. If he performs well, I mean, it's just an added engine that gives us so much balance on the field.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Lucas, before my kids turn down the entire, just tear down the entire podcast production, I'm going to wrap it up here. You and I, are we going to be back for El Día Después on Monday or no?
On Monday, it will be tough for me on Monday. I don't know if you can do 8 or something like that. What's your...
We'll figure it out off air.
All right.
Figure it out. Listeners, go to patreon.com/managingmadrid for a ton of bonus content coming up. And if you don't have Patreon in your country for whatever reason, you can join us on YouTube memberships by hitting join on YouTube. And also, we got 2 special guests coming on the podcast this week, which... if you remember, you already know who they are. All right, guys. Thank you. Lucas, thank you.
Thank you
for bearing with the noise. And we'll catch you guys later. Peace out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.